Tonally and aesthetically, Ashnikko is a lot. Her music is bratty, sex positive, and haunting, with a touch of chaos and a lot of confidence. Ashnikko's new album, Weed Killer, tackles broad, urgent issues like climate change and policy fights over reproductive and LGBTQ rights, then mixes in more personal and reflective moments. And on the day when it all goes out to the world, they're feeling, well, let's let Ashnikko say it.
I feel like my head has, like, car exhaust and bees and just all sorts of, like, goo in it.
What makes Weed Killer so interesting is that while she sings and at times screams about all of those thorny topics, Weed Killer is also a concept album about a fantasy world that Ashnikko spent years thinking up and fleshing out.
So this Nim Utopia that is this forest populated by Nim and these mother trees, and they have this symbiotic relationship where they share resources and stories back and forth between Nim and tree, and that utopia is kind of threatened by these weed killers, and weed killers are these machines that harvest biomatter, so they turn biomatter into fuel to power themselves. And my main character is on this quest to avenge their family in the forest.
I know this about you, but hearing you talk, it's so clear that, you know, you're so deeply inspired by fantasy and sci-fi and the horror genre as well. I'm wondering, what does that genre mean to you in your life, how you interact with it?
I love fantasy like a family member. Right now I'm rereading Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss. I have a book club on my Discord, and that's really fun. I love Patrick Rothfuss. The main pop star of my life is Neil Gaiman, and his novels. He's like the only person that I think if I saw him on the street, I would start crying, like really just lose my mind. The way he builds out his worlds are just, it's just phenomenal.
Can we get at some of the songs here specifically?
Please, yeah, I would love to.
I want to start with You Make Me Sick. And
yes.
And it hits a lot, you know, some of the overarching themes of this album. It's a song full of rage toward toxic, abusive men. We can hear you even screaming as you emphasize that rage. What does this song represent to you?
This song is actually the first song that I put out after like a year and a half. And it is not within the fantasy concept of the album. It was kind of like the bridge between my old music to my new music. So sonically, we took some like apocalyptic, very like industrial sounds. And for me, it was this purging, this catharsis, kind of like this extraction of toxic sludge that was living in my body, these parasites and these thorns in my sides. Like, I haven't been super blatant about what I'm talking about. So I wanted to write a more in-your-face song, kind of purging myself of a certain man in my life.
Possession of a Weapon is another song I wanted to ask about, and I understand you wrote it right after the overturning of Roe v. Wade.
I did. There's this line in the song where I say, "Don't rain on my paper mache," and it kind of felt like all of this progress that we had been making, it felt like we had been building this, quote, progress out of paper mache, and then this like natural disaster came in and just destroyed it and kind of was laughing at us like, oh, like you thought you had control over your life? Well, you actually don't. It's definitely grieving that collective loss of autonomy.
Yeah.
And I feel so heartbroken for the people that this is going to affect the most. Say you want my body, let me give it to you. Is
that what you want? Blood and guts. One other song I wanted to talk about is Miss Nectarine, which gets at your upbringing in rural conservative North Carolina and discovering your queerness while also being made to hide it. I'm the one who took the fall. Your parents screamed and blamed it on me. Sent you off and prayed my gay away that Sunday. You know, you're known for being wildly expressive and proud about your queer identity. How did you get to that point after what sounds like in your lyrics a repressive childhood when it comes to accepting that and making that an outward part of your personality?
I think the reason why I am so expressive is because of my upbringing.
Yeah.
It was like as soon as I turned 18 and was able to go craft my own life for myself, it was like an explosion. It was like, whoa, being able to go out and create this community for myself and see queer people having happy endings and content lives full of love. For me, it was like completely new and foreign to me. Like, I had no queer representation growing up.
Yeah.
And that would have been so helpful to me as a young queer person in the Bible Belt. Like, even if my parents had seen that, I think it would have been easier for them to understand and to see a future for me. And I think that, yeah, representation is important.
There's a lot of love on this album too. And one of the songs that really gets to that is Dying Star. How does it feel, especially with what you're talking about from earlier in life, how does it feel to be in this position where you can write songs and sing them that are so clearly and tenderly about queer love and hope?
I definitely couldn't be as expressive as I am now when I was growing up, when I was in high school. And now I think that young me would be super impressed and elated that I get to have that freedom now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dying Star is super, super special to me because it's the closest thing I've ever gotten to a love song. It felt like a god, how she held me. I slept on her shoulder, I gave her my heart. And it's about coming home to someone soft, coming home to this home planet and just like sinking into the grass and just allowing yourself to just be.
That's Ashniko. Her new album is Weed Killer. It's out now. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Grown bitches out to catch me softly in her baseball mitt. I'm tired of the dirt and grit.